This is Joanna Schrader reporting for DomesticFuel.com. And I am on the Hill in Washington, D.C. with Greg Vierman. And Greg is participating in the American Coalition for Ethanol's Biofuels Beltway March. Greg, how are you feeling going into day two?
Well, I'm very excited. There are a lot of quality people here who have come together on the Hill to represent the ethanol industry and to express their enthusiasm for the progress of the biofuels industry and to ask support of members of Congress for the renewable fuel standard. I think we've got a really strong case to make. Everybody's in a good mood. Everybody's enthusiastic. And I think that that is in part because not only do people know each other and have come up in this industry together, but I think that they've seen it grow and evolve and become stronger so that now we can walk in and visit with members of Congress and their staff with a high degree of confidence and enthusiasm about where we are and what makes this industry worth getting excited about and supporting.
Greg, a lot of times people think when they think ethanol industry, they think ethanol producer, they think farmer. Maybe some people who are a little more educated think about the enzyme producers. But you're arguably an unlikely ethanol advocate, although you are obviously working in the industry. So talk a little bit about your role with ACE and with the industry.
Sure. Well, I am a principal and executive creative director with a small communications firm called Astronaut. Astronaut is a brand strategy firm. We develop brands for companies in clean technology, renewable energy, sustainable goods and services, and green build. So even though we're not a producer, the advancement of this industry is central to our focus in business, and it represents the expression of our core value, which is to move clean technology and sustainability forward. At Astronaut, our mission is really simple: sustainability through the power of world-class brands. And so that means we believe in the power of the marketplace and the power of business and technology to advance an environmental agenda. So we are working with the innovators in all kinds of industries to get their story out and to help grow their business. So this is this matches up exactly with the focus of my firm. And, we've been part of the biofuels industry for many years now. And so, along the way, we've earned a few battle scars. And so we feel like we understand what's working and what's not, what needs to be dialed in as this industry tells its story. And, a trip like this to Capitol Hill is, an important stage upon which to tell that story. And so that's why we're here. Now, we have relationships with a lot of players in biofuels, and one of our clients, indeed, is the American Coalition for Ethanol. So we are here not only because, look, this matches our mission, but because, we're here to serve our client.
So, Greg, I happened to be floating around some of the Senate buildings yesterday and noticed that Astronaut created some infographics, some handouts that are being left behind. And one of the challenges is telling that story and then leaving something behind so that they remember that story. And at the moment people were handing these infographics out and talking about the RFS in particular, there was a lot of really good feedback. So what was the process? When did you decide you needed to move this message into the infographic style in order to help people understand the key elements of the RFS or key elements of certain benefits of ethanol?
Well, there are a lot of smart people in this industry and a lot of really sharp thinkers who have been serving up, a laundry list of features and benefits, behind ethanol and the technology. And it's been kind of a repeated script over and over again. What we're trying to do with the infographic that we developed is to use design as a tool. I mean, design, we're a creative shop, and so we have, I think, the unique ability to work with media, and I'm talking about creative media in a way that folks here in the industry have not tapped very well in the past. And so, design within the design community, it's a common, it's an old saw that, design is meant to solve problems. And I think that's what we're doing here with the infographic. We're trying to take something that's sort of old and familiar, but still valid, but repackage it and to reframe those features and benefits in a way that engages the audience. So what we did with the piece, first of all, the infographic form is gaining a lot of popularity and traction for a couple of reasons. If you do a good job, there's just sort of the eye candy factor. People like looking at something that's pretty, all right? So we're using visual media to convey data in a way that's unusual and interesting and sort of cuts through the noise of the industry. The second thing is that infographics invite exploration. To the extent that you have a choice between a white paper and something that's visual to explore, people are much more enthusiastic about investing the time in the graphic than they are the white paper. So it's not a substitute for a white paper approach, but it helps engage people, and we want them to spend time digging in on their own terms, and that's I think the beauty of any kind of infographic. So there's a lot of utility to that approach to repurposing data in a visual format.
Greg, you actually attended several meetings yesterday. You're getting ready to head out to attend several meetings today. What has been the most common question that you're hearing from the people you're meeting with? And based on that common question, do you feel that the industry's really telling the story well on that, or do you think we still need some work?
I don't know if the number of meetings that I had yesterday are a representative sample of the perspective on the renewable fuel standard here on the Hill. But the questions that I did get really sort of concerned some predictable areas of misunderstanding or lack of clarity about the renewable fuel standard, and it largely has to do with whether the requirements that are laid out square with the reality of what the industry can produce today. And the two things that came up in my handful of meetings yesterday had to do with, number one, with that, are do the volumetric requirements match reality? Can the industry pull that off today? And then number two, there was quite a bit of uniform enthusiasm for the fact that this industry does not receive subsidies, but that the petroleum industry does. So regardless of the debate that is going on about the actual number, the dollar figure for what petroleum represents, we're saying right now, and in our infographic, we use the figure $4 to $4.5 billion per year, but that's on the low end as we understand it. Some people think it's much higher. And whether you think it's that number or something higher, I can tell you that the ethanol industry's number is much, much lower. In fact, it's one giant goose egg, zero. There's no taxpayer support. And that met with quite a bit of enthusiasm. So those two issues, does the RFS square with reality? And boy, we like that there's no subsidy going to the industry now. Those are two themes that came up, and I expect to hear more about that today.
And Greg, in closing, there's a lot more needed. You're here for 2 days with close to 70 other people, but big oil and environmental organizations are here every day. So for those people who are going to come in behind you to help deliver this message, what's a piece of advice you can give to them?
I think that we need to wrap our data with the human dimension and the human benefits that this industry has delivered to so many communities all over the country. And I'm not just talking about the Corn Belt here. I mean, there are people who are paying their bills and putting food in their cupboards, who are working on science, the biotechnology, the engineering. And I think that the personal human dimension, the human benefit that represents for American families, really in every state, is a critical component to this. And, I would say that we have the right to be bold enough with this statement, that ethanol is the most successful renewable energy platform in America, period. There is no other renewable energy of any kind that has delivered the kind of success and the kind of mass, a broad spectrum benefit to human beings. And I think that we need to make clear that American people, American communities, American families are benefiting and growing and thriving as a result of this. And that has got to complement our data. So that's what I would say. Let's make sure we include the human element, and that's what you see on the Hill today with all of the folks here from ACE who are the personification of that that reality.
Great, thanks.